So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, people face this. Everybody faces this or something. Most people face this or something like it eventually, you know. You're there. You're a family. You're a couple. You're married. Kids. And the years go by and time passes and the kids are off doing whatever they do. They're adults. They're big people. They're in college. They're whatever. They've moved on with life. You've been married, you know, an amount of time, 20, 25 years. And so, well, what then? Especially what then? For a wife, a mom, right, who, you know, maybe that's been the whole focus for all these years, these two, three decades, whatever. What do you do then? Why, you borrow a motorcycle and ride across the country. That's what most women do. Huh? Not exactly. But maybe some do. At least one did. I saw this piece in the paper Monday, a couple of days ago. I think I had gotten some emails about you from people as well, from, you know, some of the motorcycle riding friends and people that we have in common and this sort of thing. I think I had. But I saw this piece, and this is what Tamala, is that how we pronounce that? How you pronounce that? Tamala Rich from Charlotte?
Yes.
I think I'll ride a motorcycle cross country. Ever ridden a motorcycle before? Apparently not. Have a motorcycle? No. Just sounded like a good idea at the time. So she went on this ride, this Odyssey, and it wrapped up Sunday. And she's here now. Hey.
Hey.
Welcome to News Talk 1110 WBT.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
What, fill in the gaps or tell me where I'm wrong or what? You wake up. And look, I rode in this morning in your honor on my own two wheels. And so and I'm all about it. I love what you did. It's great. It's fantastic. But tell me about it.
Well, a friend of mine contextualized it really well. We were talking about it yesterday. And he
did
said,
what?
He contextualized it.
Whoa.
That's like a 50-cent SAT word.
That's like a PhD word. It really is. He contextualized it.
Contextualized it very well. Yeah, it's a bike. We all speak like that on the road.
Yeah, you hear that at the bike rallies a lot.
He said, Tamala, you just needed to blow the rust off.
There you go.
And he was right.
So you did.
So I did.
All right, so what was the rust? What was life? How did this come about?
Well, my brother and dad last summer got BMWs and rode the Western National Parks. And so they both had iPhones, and every day I'd get these delicious, you know, streaming videos of geysers and, you know, all their adventures. And I thought, man, someday I'd like to do that. But that was it. It was just sort of like, you know, someday I'd like to do that. And, you know, Keith, it wasn't until I was coming home on Sunday that I really got it. And we were at the Bantam Grill in Chesney, South Carolina. That place is a trip. Have you ever been?
I don't know. Yeah. Mark's nodding yes and drooling.
That place is a trip.
It must be good.
Anyway, so I was just thinking about what I was going to say to my friends who, you know, were there waiting for me. And everyone knew that part of the trip was I was going to go across country researching a book that I was writing. I have a co-author who lives in Oregon, so I was going to go and meet him and nail down our chapter of contents and get going. And I, so that was the original excuse, some would say, for this trip. Another was that I really wanted to make it cause-worthy. And so as the paper, you know, noted, I did raise money as part of a large group, raise money for breast cancer. But coming back from the Bantam Grill in Chesney, it suddenly occurred to me, all of a sudden, that I'd had a lot of failure in my life. Everyone's life is a mixed bag. And I'd had some recent failures. And I had somehow let those failures define me. And I wanted to do something big and audacious that would just wipe out my self-perception of, you know, being this failed person and perhaps other people's, that I couldn't take on something big and make it happen. And sure enough, I did. And so I blew the rust off.
And you didn't want that new something that you would do, sense of achievement, wipe the slate clean and define you, like to weave a basket wasn't going to cut it?
I already knit. I already know how to do that.
Knitting, quilting.
I already know how to do that.
It wasn't going to cut it. So Well, that sounds fantastic. So how did you tell me about your life. Who are you up to the moment that you say, I'm going to hop a motorcycle and ride cross country? You're married, kids? Mm-hmm, I mean, describe your life.
Mm. We've lived here since 1988, and I have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old, and my husband of next month, 26 years. And, you know, going along, Four years ago, I had closed a terribly failed business, and it took us down financially. It took down friends and family who had backed me in the business, and I was letting that define me. I was letting that define me, and I had, back when my children were younger, I had written for the Observer, and I produced Carolina Business Review, and I did some commentaries on WFAE. I mean, I was doing then what I enjoyed most, and I decided, shoot, I'm already down and out, I may as well go back to what I love, which is writing. Relaunched my career as a business writer, and that's how I envisioned this book that I'm writing, Trade-Offs, Leveraging the Longs and Shorts of Life. And so just in this relaunching phase, you know, the world of publishing, if you don't, you know, bring your own audience behind, you're not going to sell any books, right? So I had to come up with a way to, you know, get followers who'd be interested in the book I was writing, and it all just came together.
So wait a minute, I'm just a part of your puppet show book selling scam now? Just widening your audience and your followers and the 50,000 watts, the great colossus of the South, this is about to... I think that's brilliant, marketing geniusry. That's my only problem with that is that I'm not doing it somehow and selling some book along the way. Had you ridden motorcycles before at all?
No, never. I had ridden behind my brother, and I had a boyfriend, you know, when I was 18 who rode motorcycles, and I took a ride with him once. I just don't like riding behind. I don't like that feeling of riding behind, and so that never interested me.
So you weren't big on being a passenger?
No.
Yeah. So your dad and your brother had taken this trip, but how did you think, well, hang on, I want to know how you thought and decided specifically, okay, I'm going to go do this motorcycle thing, and you hadn't ridden, and you didn't have a bike, so I'm going to do this, and oh yeah, I've never done it, and oh yeah, I don't have a motorcycle either, but oh, there must be a way. And,
where Charlotte comes to talk.
Okay.
Sounds good. We will find out exactly how that happened, and then find out something about the ride. I'm interested in the ride. Always looking for, you know, other people's ride ideas. I'm down the hall minutes ago, Mark. Murray, you know, one of the directors there, engineers at WBTV. Murray, who comes on my ride for the kids and stuff. Murray was talking about riding the parkway this weekend. I say to Murray, yeah, it's my dream. One of these days I'm going to take a vacation and ride the whole parkway at my own pace. Murray says, yeah, me and my wife, we did that last year. I'm like, oh, thanks, Murray. Make me feel like a loser.
Charlotte's News Talk 1110 WBT at 99.3 FM and WBT.com. Keith Larson.
Tamela Rich is here. Decided she needed to blow the rust off. I can relate to that. About every week, I think I need to blow the rust off. but I get to the redefining. I'm going to do something else that defines me. And you thought you were taking on the identity of I failed at business. You know, and so you wanted some new identity, some new thing, just a jumping off point. So you're going to, as a mom of two and who are now out of school and on and off doing stuff, and as a wife for, what was it?
26 years.
26 years.
Yeah.
You decide, I got to do something. And so you decide you're going to go on this cross-country motorcycle ride, though you didn't have a motorcycle and had never ridden one before. So how did that... How did you specifically decide motorcycle, and then how did you get to riding? How did you get out there?
So here's what happened, and here's my advice to anyone who has a dream. take the first step. So for me, the first step was just admitting that I had this dream. I was talking to my co-author in Oregon. We were talking about, okay, we're going to have to get together face-to-face. We're going to have to, you know, do some work. How are we going to, when are we going to, blah, blah, blah. And I found that that I had this thought that burbled up from my gut instead of being filtered through my head. And I said, you know what I'd really like to do is just ride a motorcycle to Oregon. And he said, then you should. And before I got home, he had PayPal'd me enough money to take my MSF course at CPCC, Motorcycle Safety Foundation course at CPCC. And that just started a chain of minor and major miracles. So if you want to do something, take the first step. You know, open your mouth, tell somebody what you want to do, and you may be stunned by what happened. So it started with that. I had the money to take my MSF course, thanks to my co-author. And then my brother said, well, I'll teach you how to ride on my bike. He has BMWs. And so I went up there and got some lessons on one of his bikes. And I had some video of me riding. I announced to the world I was going to do this.
So now you're in.
I'm in. I'm all in. And that's the best way, I think.
You're committed. You jumped. You leaped.
Right. Had a website, did the whole thing, and I didn't have a bike. So so I had some video of me learning to ride, and my brother's got this great couple of acres where he taught me to ride, and I sent it, put it out on my Facebook and out on the web, and the Performance Center, the BMW Performance Center in Spartanburg, they have a motorcycle training program where they train you on their bikes. And so I knew that if I could get that level of training, I'd be okay. So how was I going to make this happen, right? So a friend of mine, Wynn Madry, was going down there on a corporate boondoggle. And he happened to, because they do boondoggles down there.
Yeah, a lot of biker terms today. Corporate boondoggle.
So you know what? Same thing like up at the Speedway. You can take your company there and do team building and so on and so forth. And so he was going up there, going down there, I should say, to Spartanburg on one of their automobile training programs.
One of their automobile boondoggles.
Right. Yeah. And so he happened to call me the morning he was headed down there. And I said, Wynn, while you're there, can you maybe see if they'd be willing to sponsor
weasel
me
into there? Yeah. Can you finagle? Can you schmooze? These are more biker terms.
And Wynn's the ultimate connector. And he said, oh, sure, I'll see what I can do. And sure enough.
And so he got you in.
He got me in.
You know, I'm having a problem right now. I know that. How do I know that name? Do I know him?
Wynn Madry?
Yeah, somehow. What's he do?
He works. Well, he used to be a congressional aide when he first started his career. So now he works.
No, I'm not thinking of Mabry. I'm thinking of Madry.
Madry. He's
have run across that name somewhere.
He's a topics education now. PR guy.
Well, PR guy, then I've undoubtedly gotten some flacky PR solicitation from him or his minions in the past. So you got trained, you took the course. Those are great courses, I hear. I haven't taken one of those. I was riding for a long time before I ever heard of those courses. But I hear they're great. Nance and the girls are talking about taking those courses all the time.
Go for it.
And they're booked up for months in advance. You know, Tanya teaches those courses, Tanya Jameson, with Marxist Mondays here. You love her, you hate her, you love to hate her. But she's a good rider, and she teaches those courses, and they're great. And so off you went.
Off I went. And so while I had them on the phone, they said, well, what can we do to sponsor you? What can we do to, you know, what can we do? And I said, well, can you give me a bike?
There you go. There you go. You don't ask. You never know.
That's right. Right? Guys, that is right. That,
you know, guys have been finding that out in saloons for years. All right, Tamala Rich is here. The actual ride. I want to find out about the actual cross-country ride coming up.
What you need to know now. It's News Talk 1110 WBT, your breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
That means I better put lipstick on there.
Yeah, producer Angela is, well, I don't know. As a motorcycle rider, I don't know that you need to overdo the lipstick. Angela is getting the Keith TV fired up. I don't know how we didn't think of that a few minutes ago, but we are with Pamela Rich, Motorcycle Mama, here in the studio with us for a little bit longer. She married 26 years, grown kids, needed to shake the rust off, shake the dust off, never ridden a motorcycle before. scammed her way into one of the motorcycle riding training courses, scammed her way into a sponsorship from the BMW people out of Spartanburg, got herself a motorcycle, and off she goes. And so tell me about the ride. How long were you? And you did do this in addition to the personal blast and rust shaking that it was. You did this to raise money for the fight against breast cancer as well. We'll talk about that too. But the ride itself, so when did you leave? Where did you go? How many miles? How long? Tell me about the ride.
All right. So I left on June 26th, came home on Sunday the 8th. That was 43 days. And I went, so I went from here, I went up through, I'll name the states. I think there's 20. You can, between us, we've got 10 fingers, we can make sure. So I went from here, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon, Utah, Colorado, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, back to North Carolina.
You dipped into South Carolina for a second just to grab another state, didn't you? That's what you did.
My my posse decided that we should that I had to see the Bantam Grill, so we went.
So 43 days, 20 or so states. How many miles you put on the motorcycle?
7,505.
That's pretty good.
I had one issue with a tire. I picked up a hypodermic syringe somewhere, and I had to have my tire fixed in Denver. Uh-huh. I got to see a lot of. It's great. You know this. It's great hanging out in motorcycle dealerships because this cross section of people comes in from all over, particularly in the summer, and you hear about where they've been and where you should go, and
What's going on
great.
And what's on the road and where there's a problem and this is good and stop there and all of that kind of
right.
stuff. There's definitely a brotherhood or a sisterhood there, as the case may be. So you were doing 200-400 miles a day?
Not every day, but because I did take
so
time.
So you took some days off.
And I'd be in cities. So, for example, my first major stop was in Chicago. I had some research to do for the book there, so I stayed over there for a few days. And then my next stop, I went to the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota.
The Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota.
And
That sounds fantastic.
I did some real Americana.
That sounds like the place, kind of place Mark would go. One time, Mark took his summer vacation at that Long a Burger Basket.
That's my hometown.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, please.
You're from Dunkirk?
No, please. Newark. Newark, Ohio. That's where
Newark,
the big basket
Ohio.
Is.
The big, giant basket, yep. The 11-story basket. We have a picture on our website somewhere of Mark standing in front of the thing. Listen to this. Here's Tamala Rich's summer adventure. She hops a motorcycle 7,500 miles, 43 days, 20 states, all around the country. Here's producer Mark, drives his Miata... to go stand in front of the Long a Burger Basket. That it, boy, I got to tell you, Mark, that is really... What other fabulous places, either descript or nondescript, did you stumble by along the way?
I did some great Americana. So I went to the Wild West Prison Museum in Rawlings, Wyoming. I went to the Gallery of Presidential Also-Rans in Norton, Kansas. Every 4 years, they'll say, you know, so-and-so's going to Washington and so-and-so's going to Norton, Kansas.
Wow. Presidential Also-Rans.
Actually, the curator there was terrific. Kansas is a place where everybody complains about Kansas. Oh, you can't wait to get out of Kansas. It's flat. It's boring. Whatever. No. You know what you have to do is you have to... get off the interstates. You know this. You're a biker. And so what I did is I sort of navigated with Roadside America. It's this great website. And so what I would do is I would find towns that had interesting attractions that were basically along my way. And I'd chart my path. So at one point when I was going through Kansas, I loved Kansas. I went on 36, which is three different historical highways. It is a Pony Express route. It's part of the Oregon Trail, and it's part of the California Trail. Full of history. I stopped in Lebanon, Kansas, which is the geographical center of the lower 48. Got my self-portrait there because nobody else was there to take my picture. I did great. I learned so much about American history, about I wish I had gotten better than a B plus in geology, because I saw lots of different kinds of mountains. Who knew there were so many kinds? Volcanic mountains. Of course, we've got sedimentary mountains here in the Blue Ridge. But, you'll love this. I picked up my first passenger when I was in Bend, Oregon. They had the Cascade Cycling Classic out there, which Floyd, what's his name, that won the Tour de France and then outed everyone for steroids and drugs.
Floyd, the barber.
I don't know. Floyd somebody. No, anyway, So he was in that race. A bunch of, you know, world-class cyclists were in Bend at the Cascade Cycling Classic. And I've watched bicycle races on TV, and I knew that they always had BMW motorcycles in the mix, like chasing people out of the way and doing all this. And I thought, I wonder if I could get a gig, you know, as a chase motorcycle. So I got in touch with the organizers, and they needed someone else to, and I thought I could get something just like me on my bike, right? I didn't intend to carry a passenger because I'd never done it. And they said, oh, we really need someone to carry the whiteboard girl.
The what?
The whiteboard girl. Okay.
What is that?
Yeah, no kidding. So.
You know what that is? That's the chick in a bikini that says round three. At the boxing match, is the whiteboard girl. That's what she is.
Something similar to that. In bike racing, they want to know the splits between the leaders and the bunch. So a motorcycle has to go in and carry someone who's timing the splits between all the
groups of riders.
Yeah. So it turned out it wasn't a girl. I said, anybody over 120 pounds is out. I'm not going to do it. And I didn't tell him I had never had a passenger on, of course.
That's a good thing. Never cop to stuff like that.
So I get there at the race, and it's not a girl. It's a guy. He thinks he's going to get on the back of a motorcycle that a guy's driving. I think I'm going to carry a whiteboard girl. And we had a big laugh about that. He gets on the back of the bike, and I'm zipping in between the riders and the chase cars and all this kind of stuff. Doing fine. The only little wiggle I had, I said, okay, now when I'm getting ready to stop, you can't move. Because, you know, he's wiggling around with the whiteboard showing everybody what their times were. And I said, when I come to a stop, you can't move. Other than that, I didn't have any problems. So we got to the end of the race. He got off the bike and I said, I have a confession to make. And he was a great sport.
You informed him he was your first.
Yes, I did.
But it sounds like you treated him quite gently. Tamela Rich is here, this cross-country motorcycle ride. I hate you with a complete and total passion. There's just no other way to say it. This is absolutely terrific. Why couldn't I do this? Andy Travis! I mean, it's a long, hot summer anyway, right?
Yeah.
You get a summer distraction like Alvin Green, fine. But otherwise, it's sharks, it's West Nile virus, it's just nonsense for 3 months in the summer. Why don't I, next summer, cross-country bike it? Rayford can come along if he wants, because, you know, John Boy and Bucky, they're on tape half the time anyway. So Rayford, and so we'll go along, and we'll do all this navigating, go to all these places. We'll stumble into these little towns along the way, and I'll do the show from radio stations in little towns and outposts and transmitter towers all across America for, like, the whole summer. Wouldn't that be awesome? And, Mark, you could follow along in your Miata if you wanted, and we could... Wow. So you picked up... So the rider was in the bicycle race thing. You conned your way into that. I thought you were going to say maybe that you had actually picked up a hitchhiker somewhere.
Nope.
No hitchhikers.
This was an official. I was a motor marshal in the Cascade Cycling Classic.
Very well. You know, you should join us now next spring when we do our ninth ride for the kids. It'll be nine coming up, probably as always, the last Saturday in April. You know, you have to come out for that, and we can have you ride. You know, we have the escort from the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office, Motor Patrol, and several police agencies. They do that, but I kind of. Lead the ride, and then there's a few of us. We have, you know, ride captains throughout and other people that help keep, you know, 200, 250 motorcycles in line, under control. You should come out and join us for that.
I'm in, Keith.
You could...
I'm in.
You could help out. Did any problems along the way? All weather conditions?
The weather, you know, the gods were with me. The only time I had... rotten weather was I was heading to Cheyenne. This is a bridge to the breast cancer story. I was heading to Cheyenne where I was going to meet up with the Canadian and American riders. We were all meeting up in Cheyenne. We'd been riding from all points raising money for breast cancer. And honestly, I had dawdled too much in Devil's Tower and in Sundance. And so it got late and it started to rain and you know, I'm in the middle of nowhere. And so I just had to get there. So I did have an encounter with a sheriff. He didn't give me a ticket, but he did.
You told your whole long sob story about this, didn't you?
No,
I'm a mom. I need to shake the rust off. I've been married 26 years.
He wasn't having it. He was really quite angry with me. He said, "This is open grazing territory, and I don't want to take you out of here in a body bag." I mean, he was really, and he pointed up the road and he said, "I don't have time to give you a ticket because I'm on a case." He said, "But I'm telling the highway patrol, and they'll be looking for you."
and were they?
I don't know. They were probably in unmarked cars. I didn't see very many cars. I mean, it was just, you know, I just had to get there. So anyway, that was the only real weather incident I had.
All right, and you kept, you know, the shiny side up the whole time
that
kind of thing?
The only time the bike went down is when I I kicked it. I had parked it wrong, you know, with the kickstand on the high side. And, you know, you got saddlebags, you got all that.
Yeah.
And I just barely nicked it with my toe, kerplunk, it went over. But I wasn't on it at the time, so.
You know, that's actually easy to do. In my responsible, sober adulthood of motorcycle riding, there was another life before, long ago. But, a rider has to ride knowing. The way you ride safely is if you ride knowing and presuming and expecting that anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you have to do. You don't. People who ride thinking that nothing can happen, that they are impervious, immortal, that nothing can go wrong, those are, you know, the people who ride like idiots and end up getting themselves into the newspaper in the wrong way. So you ride absolutely expecting things to happen. So I don't take that for granted at all. But the only time that I have had the shiny side other than up was actually walking a motorcycle through a 3-point turn.
Is that right?
A big, heavy, loaded up bike, and I was, you know, wasn't even riding, but I'm walking through a 3-point turn on a friend of mine's motorcycle up back in Chicago one time. I was like, whoa, all of a sudden 950 pounds are, you know, over, and it's really easy to do. So that can definitely happen. All right, I want you to tell me about the breast cancer piece of this coming up here.
Where Charlotte comes to talk.
Which is very cool that you were able to raise some money for and some awareness for the fight against breast cancer. Tamela Rich, Motorcycle Mama. Mark, did anybody request Motorcycle Mama for? More coming up.
Keith Larson, now. Breaking stories you haven't heard before. Tara Servatius, at 3. On Charlotte's News Talk 1110, WBT, at 99.3 FM, and WBT.com.
You did. You went out. Tamela Rich, the cross-country motorcycle ride to shake the rust off and just shake up life and do something. 26 years married, mom of kids who, you know, become adults, and they're off doing their thing, and so what are you going to do? And as a part of other thoughts and research on a book and stuff, you go and do this, never having ridden a motorcycle before. 43 days, 20-ish states around the country, 7,500 miles, and in addition to all the fun of the journey and all of that, you were gaining some recognition for and trying to raise a little money. How'd you do that? Sponsorships and stuff for the National Breast Cancer Foundation?
That's right. Social media was a big part of the planning of this trip.
Ah, the social media. Another biker term. Yeah, a lot of motorcycle riders, you know, they're big on the Twitter. A lot of your motorcycle riders, maybe not. So you used the social media to help you out?
I did. Looking for, I wanted to have a cause. I didn't want to just make it, you know, all about me. I feel strongly that if you add a service element to anything you do in life, you always benefit as much or more, really, than the people that you're trying to serve. And that was certainly the case for me. What we did, I found this group called Conga. It was a Conga 3, which was Canadian-American, mostly women who were riding to meet up in Cheyenne, raise money for breast cancer, et cetera. So they had done it. This was the third time that they'd done it. And so I went on Facebook. I was looking for a cause, found this group. I said, I'm in. And so when I got to, I put some foam ribbons on my bike, you know, just to signify that I was raising money for breast cancer. But when I got to Cheyenne and met all these other women, they all had pink bras on the front of their bikes, and they were all blinged out, you know, that like major road attraction.
Pink bras, other than the ones they were wearing, you mean like on the bike up there by the headlights, a large pink brassiere.
Yeah, on the on the front windshield.
On the windshield,
right?
Yeah.
And so, and I heard when I got there, I heard about how people would stop them and they would say, "Oh, I know you must be raising money for breast cancer. Can I donate? Whatever." And so I got myself a pink bra for my bike, and it's, if you look up the Observer picture, you can see it on the front of my bike. But what happened, Keith, is I was not prepared for this. When I put that pink bra on my bike, even when I was by myself, I'd be at a rest stop, I'd be gassing up, and people would approach me, and they'd want to talk about their mom, their wife, their sister, et cetera, and how breast cancer had touched their family. They were grateful that, you know, that I was raising awareness and that I was on the road. And I think they were grateful to have an opportunity to talk about the people that they loved. I wasn't prepared for that.
That's the, you know, we are involved with a lot of groups and a lot of people, and ours is the Ride for the Kids. And so we ride for the March 4th with Hope Foundation and the Zach Ramsey Children's Cancer Fund and other individual kids that we come to know along the way when we do our motorcycle rides with Jack Parks and Matthews Fun Machines and Team Charlotte Motorsports and Charlotte Honda. And that is what it's all about, is helping others, and that's where the joy comes from. But I can tell you in particular, every group, every person worthy, but I've learned and experienced over time the connection of people and families and who are reaching out and raising money for and helping breast cancer in particular. And I guess I'm not entirely sure what that dynamic is or why that is so much the case, but I've seen that through Coleman. I've seen that through Molly Grantham, WBTV, and all that she's done with Coleman and other things that she's been involved in. And I've been out to some of these events as well. And guys are out there, and family, and survivors, and people. And it seems like everybody really knows someone. And so you want to help, you want to talk, you want to share stories, whatever it is. I mean, I've really noticed that.
I had an interview with an oncologist when I was in Bend, and he had an explanation for this, because I didn't know
what
either.
Is it? What is it?
The explanation is this. He said, you know, sometimes people grouse because breast cancer gets all the money, all the awareness, et cetera, et cetera. He says, I have no problem with that. Here's why. He said, breast cancer raises more money, but every type of cancer has benefited because more progress has been made in breast cancer than any other kind of cancer. And he said, as an oncologist, he said, I have seen how things that were learned from breast cancer have benefited other types of cancers. And so he said, I have no problem with breast cancer raising all the money because everyone benefits. And his explanation was, it's because breast cancer touches the center of the family. I mean, certainly men do occasionally get breast cancer, but more often than not, it's the women. And so because it strikes at the heart of families, it's a more emotional cause. He said, who wants to raise money for, you know, spleen cancer? He said, that's not exciting. You know, it touches families, and that's why breast cancer is important.
Well, even from the standpoint of, you know, there are guy cancers more so, but I think even from the standpoint of guys, when you think about mothers and wives and daughters, there's just, you know, something huge and very real there, and either you've been rattled by that experience in your life, or you feel that they're but for the grace of God, and so you don't want to be, and there's a lot of reaching out. And you know what we're going to do? You know, I've been kicking around ideas for the longest time. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something somehow. I don't know the details or how it works, but here's what we're going to do. You and me and Jack Parks, and you can have your partners and people too. And we're going to do a thing, and we'll get our buddies with the Motor Patrol. We're going to do a ride. Let's do a ride for breast cancer awareness and fight. One way, one sort or another, one group or another, we can help multiple groups. Maybe we'll tie in with Molly's Coleman group. And we will get several hundred guys on motorcycles in the Charlotte area.
With pink bras on the windshields?
With pink bras on the windshields.
Yes.
And we'll do, you know, we always do the T-shirts. We'll do the T-shirts in pink, I'm thinking. Mark, you can put a pink bra on your Miata. If you'd like. No, but I'm serious. How about, are you in?
I'm all in.
So we'll
all
do
in.
This. Now, here's the problem. I have no idea what we've just said or committed to. All the details will need to be worked out by somebody else. But I'm thinking, what a sight. You know, 200-400 motorcycles driving around Charlotte. Maybe we'll loop 485 or something. You know, I don't know what we'll do. But we'll do this, and we'll get the pink bras on the motorcycles and the pink T-shirts, and it'll be a blast. It'll be a hoot.
I love
How
it.
How about that? Tamela Rich, hey, what an adventure. I'm jealous. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Congratulations. Thanks a bunch.
News Talk 1110. WBT.